Harper Audio presents Fascinate, Your Seven Triggers to Persuasion and Captivation, written and read by me, Sally Hogshead. Hi, my name is Sally Hogshead, and I just wanted to start it by saying thank you for listening today. This book was a three-year journey for me. I wrote it between 2006 and the very end of 2009, and I'm excited to take you along this journey with me. We're going to be talking about brands and sales and TV commercials and social media, but along the way, we're also going to be talking about the Salem witch trials and Lady Gaga and Chang and Ang and Quaaludes and roller coasters and 40 karat flawless diamonds and all kinds of things that you wouldn't normally expect to find in a business book. And I hope you find them fascinating too. By the end of the book, I think you'll probably know a little bit more about what fascinates you and why it fascinates you. But more importantly, I hope you understand how your personality fascinates others so that you can use this in your work and, more importantly, in your relationships. Now, let's move on. I've never read an audiobook, so bear with me, but I hope you have as much fun listening as I had recording it. Preface: Witchcraft, Green Peas, and Sigmund Freud. "More weight," cried the old man, begging to be crushed more quickly. "More weight!" It was the summer of 1692 in Salem Village. The old man's ribs snapped one by one in sickening succession, each audible to the hundreds of townsfolk encircling his execution. But his pleas were answered instead with the same slow addition of stones upon his chest. For 2 days, six large men lifted rocks onto the torso of Giles Corey. But Corey refused to confess to any charges, asking only for more weight to speed his death. The sheriff stood over him, impatiently waiting for a confession, using his cane to push the old man's tongue back inside his mouth. At last, Corey was silenced by the final stone dropping upon his breast. His crime? Giles Corey had been accused of fascination, casting a spell that left his victims powerless to resist. The grand jury decreed he had enchanted the townspeople, mesmerizing them so fully that they became immobilized with captivation. Under the spell of fascination, they became hostage to his thoughts, losing the ability to think rationally or protest. The concept of fascination didn't begin with the execution of Giles Corey in Salem Village. Throughout cultures, across the continents, since the birth of civilization itself, people have always studied the ways in which fascination influences behavior. The word fascination comes from the ancient Latin fascinare, to bewitch. Around the world, ancient cultures were fascinated with fascination. The Romans believed it was an evil curse, and for protection, they worshipped one of the earliest Latin divinities, Fascinus, the god of fascination. Fascinus was worshipped by Vestal virgins. These were young girls selected to remain virgins for 30 years or else be buried alive. And Roman children wore phallic-shaped amulets around their necks to symbolize him. In Mesopotamia, Persians believed fascination could cause deadly maladies. In Constantinople, citizens painted passages from the Quran upon their houses to defend their families from the spell of fascination's evil eye. During the Renaissance, the bookshelves of Europe were filled with massive gold-embossed books on the subject. One was named De Fascino, and it defined fascination as an open covenant with Satan, witchcraft of the eyes or words, so to compel men that they are no longer free nor of sane understanding. Another warned that fascination was caused by lounging in bed too late in the morning, wearing nightcaps, or breaking a religious fast on green peas. Yes, green peas. How to prevent and cure? Remedies included the skin of a hyena's forehead, or dust in which a mule had rolled, and a broth stewed from the ashes of a hangman's rope. Not exactly goods you could pick up on an afternoon Costco run. But luckily, in the absence of hyena forehead skin, it seems one could also lick the skin of a child's forehead. If all that sounds like quackery, let's consult a doctor with whom you might be more familiar, Sigmund Freud. In 1921, Freud labeled the relationship between a therapist and a patient as fascination, a form of hypnosis. He went on to describe romantic love as a state in which an individual becomes so submissively engrossed in his object of fascination that he becomes hypnotized, losing his critical faculties, in what he called a bondage of love.